yeah, the introduction was a little mixed up. I got my PhD at Penn State in human development, and I am currently at Duke in the School of the Environment. Not sure why. So I was told that I'm supposed to give disclosure before my speak, and so if you were here for Dr. Santelli's speech talk, I actually had my first child before I finished my dissertation, so I was mistimed, and I was happy. So, yeah, things happen. Thank you all for coming. Obviously, we need a bigger room, I think, next year for this this topic. Pregnancy intention, as we've heard, is a very complex variable. My talk today is the impact of psychosocial health on pregnancy intention. I see some familiar friends in here and faces, and I thank you for coming. My colleagues, Dr. Christina Gibson Davis, Dr. Gita Swami, Dr. Redford Williams, and Dr. Marilyn Miranda, help me with this work. This work is being done at the Children's Environmental Health Initiative at Duke University. We call that CHI. As you'll see, we like acronyms. It's a research, education, and outreach program committed to fostering environments where all children can prosper. These are the wonderful people that I work with every day, and some of them are in this room. CHI is the umbrella organization for the Southern Center for on the Environmentally Driven Disparities in Birth Outcomes, also known as SCEDBO, because if I have to go around saying to people that I work for the Southern Center for Environmentally Driven Disparities in Birth Outcomes a lot, then I get really tired. Three research projects are going on SCEDBO. It's a new center that was just funded in May. Project A is the detailed birth record, which is right here. Project B is the clinical OB study, and Project C is our mouse model. I'm going to tell you more today about Project B, the clinical OB study. We are in our third year of the We are in our third year of the clinical OB project. This is a prospective cohort study. We are using a multi-assessment method to gather information on the interactions between host, environmental, and social factors. Our participants fill out surveys which assess psychosocial indices. They fill out those surveys approximately 20 to 30 weeks pregnant. We take maternal blood at 28 weeks for genetic and protein analyses, and we take maternal blood at delivery for environmental exposure analyses. At delivery, we also take placental tissue, cord segment, and cord blood. And then we are looking at pregnancy outcomes and medical histories of these women. We approach all eligible women at two locations, which I'll tell you about in a minute. Our eligibility requirements are that the women must be over 18 years of age. They must speak and read English. They must live in Durham County because we have a neighborhood assessment component. We geocode all of our data. They must be singleton gestations with no known congenital abnormalities. We recruit them between 18 and 28 weeks of gestation. Our recruitment currently is at 748 women. Our target is 1,500 women. We recruit women at the Duke OB clinic. We have 409 women there, 121 of which are non-Hispanic white, 249 are non-Hispanic black, and 26 are Hispanic. And we also recruit these women at the Lincoln Community Health Center, which is the Durham County Health Department. 339 women are from there, 20 are non-Hispanic white, 272 are non-Hispanic black, and 33 are Hispanic. We have approximately a 10% decline rate, and we have less than a 5% attrition rate. Most women who leave the study do not deliver at Duke, and that is one of the requirements. They must deliver at Duke because that's where we get our delivery samples. The demographics of our participants. Here's a snapshot. As you can see from the income graph, we have a predominantly low-income sample. 45% of the women report household incomes of less than $20,000. Almost 25% report less than $5,000 a year. In education, about half of our sample reports a high school education or less. And lastly, our sample is predominantly non-Hispanic black, with 70% non-Hispanic black. We use the PRAMS, the pregnancy risk assessment monitoring system question, which says, think back to just before you were pregnant with this child. How did you feel about becoming pregnant? And the options, as you all in this room probably know, are, I wanted to be pregnant at that time. I wanted to be pregnant sooner. I wanted to be pregnant later. And I didn't want to be pregnant at that time or any time in the future. We combined the first two, I wanted to be pregnant at that time, I wanted to be pregnant sooner, into now. We made, I wanted to be pregnant later, into later. And we made, I didn't want to be pregnant at that time or any time in the future, into never. So we use a trichotomy. Of our women who finished the surveys, which are 613 women, so we still have, of our 748 women, we still have women who are not finished with their surveys. The breakdown of the groups is as such. 240, or 39%, of the women say they did want this baby now or earlier. 260, or 42%, of the women said they wanted this baby later. And 113, or 19%, of the participants said they did not want this baby now or at any time in the future. An important point, then, is that 61% of our pregnancies are mistimed or unwanted, and these are women who intend to continue the pregnancy. So comparing that with the 1999 North Carolina PRAMS data, they said about 42% were mistimed or unwanted. One caveat here is that our sample is predominantly non-Hispanic, Black, and very low income, which are both factors which increase the unwanted or mistimed. All right. So this talk is going to focus on psychosocial instruments. Of course, I wanted to tell you a lot of things, but I only had 20 minutes, not 4 hours, so I'm going to focus on this. These are the measures that we looked at. We looked at the CESD, John Henryism, which is a determination to finish something no matter at what cost. We looked at the interpersonal support checklist, ISIL. We looked at paternal support, self-efficacy, perceived stress, and then we looked at the NEO five-factor model. Of those, we found significant differences on depression, interpersonal support, paternal support, self-efficacy, perceived stress, and the NEO. I'm going to, in the next several slides, just show you a visual picture of what these women look like. We ran chi-squares and ANOVAs on them, and I'm going to try to show you as few numbers as possible. Starting with depression, on this slide I'll show you how I'm going to visually show you these things. You can see at the top that there is a continuum of depression and in the following slides of the other variables that I'll be talking about. On the left is lowest depressive symptoms, on the right are highest depressive symptoms. Underneath that continuum, you see the trichotomy of now, later, and never. So in this case, as you will see in the following, it's also true, now reported the least depressive symptoms, later reported the middle, and never reported the highest depressive symptoms. In this case, now and later are significantly different. Now and never are significantly different. And later and never are different at a trend level. Interesting to note here, I did not put means on all of these because I really wanted it to be visual so you'd get a look at what they, a glance at what they look like. Never, their mean is 17.45, which is above the clinical standard for the CESD for clinical depression. Okay, the interpersonal support measures four types of support: tangible, appraisal, self-esteem, and belonging. And as you can see again, now is significantly different from never, and now is different from later at a trend level, and later is different from never at a trend level. Paternal support, you'll see that all of these, the trends are exactly the same. It's almost a dose response, if you would, even though I can't really say that. Paternal support now says they receive the most paternal support. Never says they receive the least paternal support, and you can see the significant differences there. Self-efficacy, this is the ability to cope with daily hassles and adapt after experiencing stress. You'll see that the now group, again, has the highest self-efficacy, the never group has the lowest self-efficacy, and now is different significantly from never and later. Perceived stress, I don't think I need to tell you what that means. Again, now is significantly less stress than later and never is different than later at a trend level. We also looked at personality. So we're interested in the host factors as well. So what does the woman bring to the picture? Although one could argue that she brings these other things as well. But starting off with extroversion, we can see that The now women are more extroverted than the other two groups, and the least extroverted are the never group. So the now, the most extroverted, are significantly different at the 0.01 level from never, and they're different at a trend level from later, and the later and never are different at a trend level. Neuroticism, very important variable. We can see that the least neurotic women are the ones who said now. The most neurotic women, according to this measure, are those who said never, and all three groups are significantly different. These three personality traits, openness to experience, agreeableness, and conscientiousness, follow the same pattern. Those who said now have the highest levels of all three of these indices. Those who said never have the lowest levels of all three of these indices. So now has the highest level of openness, the highest agreeableness, and the highest conscientiousness. Now is significantly different from later, and now is significantly different than never. Now, one of the things that we're interested in, of course, is what does this intention status mean? So we did look at some of our maternal behaviors, and although this is a little bit wrong, although we did not see significant differences in the chi-square for tobacco usage between intention statuses, we do see a difference in how many smokers there are per group. So as our sample increases, I do suspect that this will become significant. So for our entire sample, 77% of the women don't smoke, 17% smoke, and 6% have quit. Amongst our intention statuses, those who say never, 24% of the women do smoke. Those who say later, 18% of the women smoke, and those who say now, 13% smoke. So you can see that those who say never, a greater percentage of those do smoke. We do not see any differences in our alcohol usage, and in fact, we don't really have too much alcohol usage, which is a good thing. Pregnancy outcomes. We do not have any differences in birth weight. We also do not have any differences in prevalence of gestational diabetes or pregnancy-related hypertension. We do see a significant difference at gestational age of delivery, although the actual number of weeks is not much greater, but it is a significant difference. Closing point. So as we can see, the psychosocial indices differ by intention status, with now having an overall healthier psychosocial profile and never having a less healthy psychosocial profile. The nows have less depression, greater self-efficacy, greater interpersonal support, greater paternal support, less perceived stress, and a healthier personality profile, whereas the nevers have the opposite of that. There appears to be a psychosocial profile for these women, particularly those who reported that they never wanted the baby. It may be that this profile is associated with the demographics of the sample, which I don't have time to tell you about, but I can talk to you about it afterwards, as well as concurrent stress that these women are experiencing. It may also be that there's a certain type of response profile. So a woman to say, I did not want this baby now or never in the future, is a different response than saying this is mistimed. In my case, I was mistimed, but I was happy about it. So if I were to be asked that question, I would probably not say I do not want, I would not say never, obviously, and I might not even say later. So I think, as my colleagues have said here, there's a lot of nuances to this variable. Whichever pathway exists, however, it's important to continue studying these women in order to make interventions. Poor psychosocial health may be concomitant with poor prenatal care and possibly poor birth outcomes. Future directions. We will recruit 750 more women, so that will increase our power. It will enable us to continue to look at these women. We also have examined results by race, income, and education, and our results do match what is already out there, that it is the lower income, the lower educated, the non-Hispanic black population who tend to say never. So that's an important area for intervention. In addition, we are increasing our question to include the questions that Dr. Santelli talked about, happiness, did they want it with this partner? So we're adding about 6 questions to our intention questionnaire. We are also starting to back code adequacy of care. How many prenatal visits did they have? When did they start? It's another really important question. Women who did not intend this pregnancy or women who did not want this pregnancy, do they start prenatal care later? So that's something else that we're looking at. All right, so I would like to thank our funding sources. my colleagues, and particularly our participants, who give us not only their time, but their blood, placental tissue, cord samples, and cord blood. Thank you very much. Good question. We actually do have a the question was, does our perceived stress have a measure of perceived racism? We actually have a separate perceived racism variable or measure. And interestingly, we have very little variability in that measure, and so it is not significant at all. It's interesting that in some ways, that's something I'd like to pursue more, but that measure, many women are saying they do not perceive racism, even though it's predominantly non-Hispanic Black. Excellent question. Yes.
I wanted to just talk a little bit about the condition or the direction of the relationship. I mean, if I had unturned pregnancy, I might be stressed and depressed too, and I'd be anxious if I'm thinking of the causal factor. So, could you comment on that?
Actually, I don't think that I can comment on causality because obviously it's not. I mean, of course, we can come. That's one reason why we look at some of these things as host factors. The other problem with the CESD, to be honest, if any of you have been pregnant and you take the CESD, some of them are psychosomatic symptoms, like I'm tired all the time, I don't sleep well, I'm more emotional. So, you know, there's some, but I totally agree. I think that it's hard to know whether they're depressed because it's never or they're, you know, I don't know that we can tease that apart. I do think, though, that since we're asking them at 18 to 28 weeks, not after the delivery, and not right as soon as they find out, that it may be less, it may be more related than causal. You know, like, I think it's more of a profile. Yes. Okay, so neuroticism is a measure of negative energy, negative stress, stress levels. How do you react? So it's the neo-personality measure. That has been found in other samples to be related to heart disease, physical health, those kinds of issues. So neuroticism in this case, we're, as far as I know, I don't know of too many other pregnancy studies that are using personality. So we'll, you know, we have not seen birth outcomes differences yet, which is a good thing, really. Yes, that's an excellent question. The question was, did we include number of prior pregnancies and number of prior pregnancies with poorer outcomes? We are looking into that now because I truly believe it's a different question if you have four kids and you're 40 and you don't want this next baby. Yes, absolutely. Yeah. One more. The question is, did we ask questions about contraceptive use at time of conception? And we did not. Okay. Thank you very much.